Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, thank you, DJ, for bringing us back into the show in style. He is 100% correct. I am Jay Flama of the Golf News Net Radio Network, and you're listening to Jay's Place. Thank you so much to our very first guest on the show, Alan Fidel, talking amateur golf with us. And now we're going to turn right straight to our Masters coverage. The Jay's Place show is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. You've tried all the rest, now try JB's. It's bold, it's spicy, it's good on lips, hips, and fingertips. Give it a try sometime in a Bloody Mary or on top of your favorite burger. JB's Best, and it says JB's, it's the best. All right, let's welcome on in one of my very favorite people, okay, a co-Golf News Network correspondent and a European correspondent, a guy I worked with all the way back so long ago with CyberGolf. Tony Dear, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Jay. Thank you for having me.
It's always great to have you on. It's our favorite week of the year, Christmas in April. It's the Masters, and you have been hard at work prepping the European and international side for Golf News Net. So break that side of the equation down like a fraction for us. Who's going to play great, and who's going to miss the weekend?
Well, there are 26 Europeans in the field. I've had a look at all their stats, and I think 19 of them have a possibility, have a chance to win. I think 6 of them have a realistic chance to win.
And who in particular are you going to be focusing on to win?
Well, the 6 that I think can drive up Magnolia Lane thinking that they have a chance are Rory, Sergio, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and a couple of Englishmen, Andy Sullivan and Danny Willett.
Well, the big question right now is, can anybody stop Australia's Jason Day? And right behind him on his heels, Australia's Adam Scott, winner a couple of years ago. It seems like right now they are number one and number two rounding into form as we come to the Masters.
Definitely, yeah. I think the only person that can stop Jason Day right now is Jason Day, and no one's playing better than him. Of course, if Rory has a good week, if Rory has the sort of week that he's capable of, then he can surpass Jason Day. But really, the form that Jason Day is showing at the moment, it's going to be very difficult to beat him, I think. I think the form that he's been showing, the way he's playing, you know, the way he's taken to the shorter putter is just phenomenal, and I think coming down at Augusta again, a former champion, I think he'll be extremely inspired.
Yes, that was the big question hanging over Adam Scott, is would he be able to be the same Adam Scott with the shorter putter? And so far, he's proven yes. We'll see if it lasts in the long run. But he has had a long hot streak earlier in the season that made me pick him as one of my early favorites. But now, with Day just coming off tearing everybody apart the last 2 weeks, and, you know, physical specimen, you just said the word rounding into form. Oh, my goodness, the form he's in is almost as Greek god sculpted as Woods was, okay? I mean, I still am flabbergasted by these 400-yard drives that he's hitting. It's gargantuan. And Augusta can be a bomber's paradise. So, you know, at the moment, I'm very seriously thinking about switching from Adam Scott to Jason Day for my favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think talking of Jason Day reminds me of, the best comment I've ever heard Dan Hicks say on NBC's coverage last weekend at the World Match Play. I think Jason Day was playing the 14th or the 15th hole, and it's one of those holes where a lot of players have been hitting a 3-wood or even a hybrid just for position because the water was on the left. It's quite a narrow fairway, and Jason Day, I mean, he was what, 3 up at the time, so it wasn't really a big deal, I suppose, but he just took out the driver and bombed it right down the middle. And Dan Hicks said, you know, when players like Jason Day and Rory McIlroy are in this sort of form and they're striking the ball as well as this, that, you know, the golf course architect has really, unless they make the fairway 5 yards wide and make the rough 5 yards tall, there's not an awful lot you can do about it because these guys would stripe it down the middle every time, 330, 40, 50 yards.
Well, that just goes to show why Dan Hicks shouldn't be discussing golf course architecture, because he's dead wrong about that. Okay, yeah, what you don't want to narrow the fairways and grow the rough. That's tiger-proofing, and it only helps the long bombers. It kills everybody else's chances. What you want to do is do what they did at Marion. Pick a golf course that's dog legs in awkward places and has uneven lies in the fairway and tiny greens. That's how you tiger-proof a golf course. That's how you Jason Day-proof a golf course. You got to keep everybody in it, you know, not exclude everybody.
Well, I think tiger-proofing was the biggest misnomer ever in any sort of literature because, you know, it didn't proof the course against Tiger. It just made his winning score... The effect was it could only make his winning score less than it was the year before. I mean, he was still going to win.
And the other thing that it proved was that it proved that if there's any other point that illustrates that that idea didn't work, it's the fact that Augusta National, after they made the changes that Tom Fazio suggested in 2005 and 2006, completely reversed direction and erased those ideas. They got rid of them right away. What Fazio did by narrowing the fairways and growing the rough is that he made the place a par golf course, not a birdie fest. And it absolutely killed the excitement. It killed the ability of the players to put the hammer down, and it made it less of a dramatic event. Okay, when they turned about on those ideas, they restored the roar at Augusta. That's what makes Augusta hold the freehold on golf excitement. The fact that on the back nine, somebody can make a charge.
Very true.
So give us a couple of your sleepers. Who do you think could possibly come out of the pack?
Well, I'm very interested in both, as I said earlier, Sullivan and Willett. Danny Willett, obviously, you know, he's going to play now since the birth of his son came a little bit earlier than expected, which is great news, but his mother and baby are both doing very well, apparently, so he's able to play, which is great. And Danny Willett is, you know, he's a player I've been watching for a number of years. He's up to 12 in the world now. He's only 29. He's won 4 times in Europe. He won in Dubai, obviously, earlier this year. I just think he's a very... I think he's a very talented player, obviously, but I think he's got something about him that I think there's something about both he and Sullivan are from up north in England and kind of bring him tough up north. You know, we have a saying back in England, it's grim up north because it's terrible and the cities are all very industrial. It's kind of like, I don't know what the American equivalent would be, kind of Detroit, I suppose. And, you know, they grow them tough, they grow them gritty, and these northerners, you know, they take a lot of beating. They're like, I'll tell you who they remind me of, actually. They remind me of Lanny Watkins. You know, they're never beaten. And I think Danny Willett and Andy Sullivan, to a lesser extent possibly, are going to be worth watching. You know, they're obviously very good at golf. You know, they've won the times in Europe, and I think they have that bit between their teeth, which, you know, they're not just there for the oh my goodness, I'm at Augusta, how wonderful, how exciting. That, you know, they're there to put in a very good performance, and it would be a surprise, I suppose it would be a surprise if either Sullivan or Willett won, but not as much perhaps as if Bernd Wiesberger won perhaps, or Chris Wood, or Shane Lowry, I'd expect Sullivan and Willett to be, to put in a very good show and at least contend perhaps for a while.
You know, an interesting name you threw out there just a second ago casually, Chris Wood. I've always enjoyed watching him play because it's funny watching a 6'6" beanpole go around the golf course. But he's got a sublime short game and he's terrific off the tee. Why haven't we seen more of him lately high up on leaderboards at majors?
Who's that? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Sorry?
Chris Wood.
Chris Wood is, that's a very good question. I remember seeing Chris Wood at the Open in Muirfield in 2002. I believe he finished fifth. And he's just this long, at the time he was this long, lanky beanpole. And you think it was very nice for him to have that finish, but he's perhaps not going to progress to world class status. But he has done, you know, he's beefed up, he's very long off the tee. Smashing guy, really nice guy.
Smashing, love that word, smashing. Like my shirts are smashing.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a cracking fella. And I'm surprised too. I think maybe it's a confidence thing with him, you know, because he has the ball striking. He definitely has the game. He just doesn't perhaps have the bit between his teeth and the thumb and in his belly like a Willett or a Sullivan.
Now, one other name that we haven't discussed yet, but we should on the international side, that he perennially plays well at Augusta, is Louis Westhuizen.
Louis?
Yes, Louis Westheim.
Yeah, the greatest swing in the world, an absolutely superb player. I mean, I find it very strange that he hasn't won in America, and, that's only a matter of time, but, he's got the full package. He's got everything. You know, when that isn't, a problem, we've all read about his, taking his mattress round to wherever he stays, you know, and, if that helps, obviously, and his back isn't bothering him, then he can win on any golf course at any time, beat anybody in the world.
He has a silky smooth swing, without question. It's so fluid, and he can be a birdie machine. And he dominated everybody at St. Andrews when he won in 2010. He just ran past everybody like they were standing still. And he suffered a string of bad luck defeats, holing out for double eagle on number two at the Masters on Sunday, only to lose in that playoff to that ridiculous shot by Bubba Watson. And then the heartbreak of, you know, just missing out by one shot at the U.S. Open last year at Chambers Bay after holing out a shot for an eagle earlier in the round. I've never seen that happen to a guy before, let alone happen twice, where they were the one that holed out and didn't win. Normally, when you do that, it's your week.
Well, after his first round, I can't remember exactly what was it, 77? And then to come back and contend and to get that close to winning was an incredible performance because, you know, we weren't, I'd say we've written him off, but we hadn't written him off after the first round because we weren't writing about him at all. he's just one of the many victims of Chambers' questionable greens.
Go ahead. I am not in that camp, Tony. I think that I love Chambers Bay. I think that they should go back to Chambers Bay.
Absolutely.
Every kind of thing out in the golf course. So I also think that we're going to see Louis Westhuizen hoist the claret joke a couple more times at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me wrong about those greens. I mean, Chambers Bay was marvelous. I thought it was fantastic, and it absolutely will get the U.S. Open back. I think there'll be an absolute uproar amongst the golfing public when it is announced that the U.S. Open is going back to Chambers Bay. And I think the USGA will need to address the greens. But one thing I said about, well, I mean, this is the Masters, so, you know, so when focus on the U.S. Open. But one thing I will say about that is people who hadn't you know, we live up here, and we've been looking forward to that tournament for 8 years. And with 3 or 4 years to go, the writers in the Northwest were thinking, how is this going to happen? This is going to be frankly embarrassing because the greens were not good. I mean, they were like rolling on dried mud. There was no grass on them. They were extremely slow and extremely bumpy. And then Eric Johnson and Josh Lewis, came in from, Josh Lewis was at Paso Tiempo and Eric Johnson was at Bannon Dunes, and they came in and the differences they made in the greens were unbelievable. And I think given a few more years, the grass has time to settle. They have time to work out exactly how the fescue behaves there. I think the next time it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think that the media made much, much too much of it and kept trying to beat a dead horse. Like, they wanted that to be the story. I think it was despicable that the very same great architectural features that we see at Chambers Bay that were echoed at Pinehurst, okay, that it's okay to genuflect at Pinehurst because it's either 100 years old or it's Donald Ross, but they're not okay when you create them yourselves at a Bob Jones course, that's only 8 years old. Okay, I found that to be a little bit two-faced. And accusing Chambers Bay of not being a Lynx course because it's hilly, I got one word for you, Prestwick. I have another word for you, Lynch. Okay, you can't tell me that Lynx courses aren't hilly. They can be gargantuanly hilly. Royal County down, okay? So, it is a bit of the old Southern America, and everybody should run to go play it. Now, Tony, what will you be writing this coming week, and who will you be writing for, or whom will you be writing for?
The previews, who's going to win, what people can expect from the course, a few dark horses, the usual sort of stuff. And when I say usual sort of stuff, I love this usual sort of stuff. This usual sort of stuff is fun because we're talking about the Masters. And I saw a tweet from Rex Hoggard this morning that was funny. He's driving up from Orlando to Augusta, and he says this drive never gets old. And he's got the MapQuest snapshot of it, and it's like a 7 or 8 hour drive. And that's a wonderful drive to make because for 7 or 8 hours, you know where you're going. And it's,
there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Where will we be able to read your stuff?
I'll write on my own website, Betting Golf, a lot. A lot of the stuff I've done for the Masters this year is actually in Britain. In the States, I'll write Newsnet. It'll be around. Masters, and you'll find it.
Now, starting tomorrow evening when the putt drops on the 72nd hole, you'll be able to read my preview piece, an oral history of Jack's win in 1986. I got Tom Watson and Tom Weisskopf and Kenny Knox and Jaime Diaz and Art Spander and a lot of other people that were all there watching firsthand. To tell their point of view on Jack's win, and there's some amazingly beautiful nuggets from all of those guys. You'll be able to get that at www.thegolfnewsnet.com, and then Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday night is my schedule, everybody. Wednesday night, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to write, but I'll come up with something for you. It's nice to have a blank check to pick what I want to write on Wednesday, and then Friday and Sunday I'll have the game story. Okay, I'll have a tournament recap on Sunday for you, everybody, and I'll have the game story on Friday. So, it's going to be a terrific Masters week. Merry Christmas in April, Tony.
That's to you, Jack.
Everybody, we're going to be back with the second half of the show. Don't go in. It'll be in the very capable hands of our boy DJ Q. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. And that brings us, before we let you go, Tony, it brings us to the JB's Best Trivia Question. Okay, you get a chance to win a bottle of hot sauce and a free T-shirt. So here we go. Are you ready for your chance?
Sure.
Okay. What song is the song to the Jay's Plays show?
Oh, I do know this. It's gone. I'll never remember it. Is it It's one of your. It's one. I don't know. I've gone. It's gone. Sorry.
He does know this one too. It's First Tube. And a big thank you, by the way, to Fish for giving us permission to use their music as the theme song on the show. And so it's going to be playing right now on the outro. Everybody will be back. Tony will be back with me to prep the U.S. Open this year. You can read all of the stuff at Bellingham Golfer. We'll be back in just a little bit.
We're at the end of another great Jays Play show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner. You can read me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jays Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.